Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, when election workers are threatened, democracy is threatened, how the democracy erosion engine works, and how it's working in Texas.
This is entirely due to an ongoing campaign to delegitimize the 2020 election and American democracy overall, largely led by the losing presidential candidate and the grifters that surround him.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. After the 2020 presidential election, election administrator offices across the country began to receive a flood of threatening phone calls.
We are coming for you. We will find you.
We're going to hang you.
Do you hear the anger in my voice? We're ready to pounce.
Is probably going to be executed for treason.
He will demand the truth, and you will pay for your lying remarks, you liberal lying rhino. We will take you out, your family, your life. You watch your back.
Those threatening messages can be traced back to comments that President Donald Trump made leading up to and immediately after the November 3rd election.
Good evening. I'd like to provide the American people with an update on our efforts to protect the integrity of our very important 2020 election. If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us. If you count the votes that came in late, we're looking at them very strongly, but a lot of votes came in late.
Those comments by Trump also triggered a violent insurrection, which was part of an attempted coup on January 6, 2021. Trump's words attacking the election system also led to the passage of SB 1 in Texas, which Republicans called an election integrity bill. Opponents, including independent democracy watchdog groups, called it a voter suppression bill. All of this accumulated recently in Gillespie County, Texas, home of Fredericksburg, where the entire Elections Administration Office quit, citing death threats, online harassment, and stalking. And in the resignation letter by former election administrator Anissa Herrera, it also blamed a new Texas election law, SB 1, and underfunding, which she said made her job unsustainable. What's happening in Gillespie County isn't unique. It's happening across Texas and across the nation. It's part of what a recent congressional report called the Democracy Erosion Engine. More on that later. But first, let's get reaction to the situation in Gillespie County from the Texas League of Women Voters. Joyce LeBombard is the president of the League of Women Voters of Texas.
The election administrators, their roles are critically important. They are the dedicated, experienced people who operate in every county. They prepare the election, the polling locations, the ballots. We can't have elections without them. So I'm not sure what Gillespie County is actually going to be doing for the November election. I know they're reaching out to the Texas Secretary of State to figure that out. But they play such a critical role. They need staff. They also have to have additional election workers for elections as it is already before. And so that's going to be even more critical going into the future.
People who want to go vote, they ask me for my identification here in Texas, my photo ID. They'll ask me, is this still your current address? And they keep them line moving and they make sure that we follow the election laws. Those folks, they are volunteers or they're paid almost at a volunteer level?
Well, they are paid. I mean, they volunteer, but they are paid volunteers. The election staff that does all the behind the scenes before the election. But then, yes, on election day, it's those polling judges that know the election laws and those poll workers that are checking the voters in and assisting them if they need help. Those are the volunteers.
Yeah, they're paid, but they're not paid enough to put up with a lot of nonsense.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And unfortunately, that's apparently what I'm hearing. people go to vote. They want to wear the T-shirt of their candidate. You can't do that when you go vote. Right. And when they tell them you got to reverse that or find something else to wear, cover that up, we get conniptions.
It really is the rise in the election-related misinformation that has led to the increase of the intimidation and the threats on the election workers. You know, the claims of widespread voter law and election that have been repeatedly debunked over and over again. Our own Texas Secretary of State was smooth and secure in 2020. There was an audit of the top four largest counties, and there was no evidence of voter fraud. But yet the spread of that misinformation that somehow there was election fraud continues to place, extraordinary pressure on the election administrators. And now they're also getting besieged by slew records from that same election. So they got all these new requests to produce these open records from the 2020 election while they're trying to get ready for the November election in 2022. And it's just a tremendous amount of pressure that they're under.
People point out that Gillespie County, where we had the walkout, mass quitting of the election administrator's office. Donald Trump won that county by 70% of the vote.
79%?
Yeah, 70% of the vote. Yeah. What did they think if there was election fraud going on? where is it? What are they talking about? It's really hard to see how this is not just something that's not grounded in any sort of factual basis.
I wouldn't say in all of the cases, but in many of these cases, it really is just bad actors trying to disrupt our elections and disrupt us having free and fair elections by creating as much chaos as possible.
So let me follow up on that. If you do have people who are harassing and intimidating election administrators and they walk off the job saying it's not worth the stress, it's not worth threats to my family. If that happens on a wider scale across Texas, not just one county, then how will we have elections? And then will that be what some people actually want? They want to see our elections hobbled.
That could very well be. Like I said, I don't think, every request for open records is that kind of thing. But I do think a lot of these, when it comes to intimidation and threatening people, what other purpose could that really serve? And so, like I said, when we heard about Gillespie County and that whole election administrator staff, I really don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to hold the election in November. I mean, they're going to have to do a lot of scrambling.
Yeah, early voting starts in mid-October.
Exactly. It's a lot of work that has to happen in advance of an election to get prepared for it, with all the getting the ballots and the, all the languages, making sure you've done your audits on your machines and everything else. There's just a lot of work that goes into this.
SB1, I know it was part of the legislation as it was working its way through the process that they were going to increase the penalties for election workers and administrators if things didn't go the way that some lawmakers wanted. So they were going to increase the criminal penalty. And so it seems that not only do you have to deal with low pay and a volatile environment, but also you could go to jail for something that was out of your control.
Correct. Yeah. What the league is doing is, we're partnering, we're in a coalition with two different organizations. One is the National Nonpartisan Campaign called Power the Polls, where it actually is recruiting and training more election worker volunteers. And, people can find out more about that at powerthepolls.org. We are also part of the Election Participation National Nonpartisan Coalition. They have a helpline. It's 866-OUR-VOTE, V-O-T-E. So that if a voter has any concerns about what's happening at the polling location or questions about something that might be happening. That is staff to answer their questions.
Joyce LeBombard is the president of the League of Women Voters of Texas. The pressure being felt at election offices across the nation isn't an accident, according to a report released this month by the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. The report is called Exhausting and Dangerous: The Dire Problem of Election Misinformation and Disinformation. It says there is an active democracy erosion engine. It's a feedback loop that feeds on election disinformation and then creates threats of violence and disruptions to elections, which creates more disinformation that's used by conspiracy theorists to gain notoriety. And then they run for office with the explicit goal of overturning election results. And all of this is bad news for democracy in America. I talked to David Becker about this. But first, I asked to get his reaction to what's happening in Gillespie County. David Becker is the executive director and founder of the Center of Election Innovation and Research.
This has been going on all over the country. Perhaps Gillespie County is one of the more extreme incidents with an entire county's election staff resigning. But we have to understand that election workers all over the country, in red states, blue states, battleground states, non-battleground states, from elected secretaries of state down to volunteer poll workers, are being harassed and threatened in a way that we've never seen before. It's not worse than it's been before. It has never been before. This is entirely due to an ongoing campaign to delegitimize the 2020 election and American democracy overall, largely led by the losing presidential candidate and the grifters that surround him, who have to keep the grift going because they're getting rich off of it. But while they're getting rich off of this lie, this grift about the election of 2020, there are election workers, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, who have been working quietly in elections to make sure that they were secure, that they were accessible. And they've done a remarkable job. The truth is that elections right now in the United States, and in 2020 in particular, are the most secure and transparent and verified that they've ever been. And that is objectively true. There are more paper ballots. There are more audits. Our voter lists are more accurate than ever before. There is more court scrutiny of the results than ever before. And so voters should have a tremendous amount of confidence. And we should be giving a ton of credit to election officials in this country who somehow managed the highest turnout we've ever seen, both in Texas and nationwide, over 20 million more voters than we had ever seen in any election in American history. And election workers somehow managed that in the middle of a global pandemic. We should be throwing them a parade. And instead, they go home at night exhausted and weary, and especially in some of the redder counties around the country, they find when they go home after a day of being attacked constantly, threatened, sometimes death threats directed at them and their families, their own families and friends and neighbors think that they stole the election. They don't get a moment off. And I can completely understand where the election officials of Gillespie County are coming from. It's what we're doing to our election infrastructure in this country, what the grifters are doing to it, possibly intentionally, is going to take years to rebuild.
VoteBeat obtained the Gillespie County election director's resignation letter through a public records request. And in that letter, the former election administrator for Gillespie County, Anissa Herrera, writes that she quit because of threats, the Texas new election laws, low pay, and lack of staff have completely changed her job, making it unsustainable. I do want to focus on this Texas new election laws, SB1, that was passed after we had a Democratic representative walked out and they went to Washington, D.C. They broke quorum for that. There was all sorts of accusations that this new law was a voter suppression law. And part of it was also increasing criminal penalties for people who work in election offices if something goes wrong. So you do have to wonder how this law was passed and why it was passed and its consequences. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, election workers in this country, again, from secretaries of state down to county clerks, down to volunteer poll workers, are being caught in a vice right now. Despite the fact that they ran the most successful, transparent, secure election in American history in 2020, they are being targeted. And they're being targeted in a multitude of ways, with laws that put more burdens on them, that potentially criminalize their conduct, even when it's good conduct, and then a reduction in resources that would enable them to meet those additional burdens. Election workers don't go into election work because it will make them rich and famous. They go into it because it's a calling. They want to give voice to American citizens, to their neighbors, friends, and family, and everyone else in their community. And they don't get rich doing it. They don't get famous. If they do a really good job, their best case scenario is anonymity, because no one talks about an election that's really well run. And now they're finding themselves targeted for harassment, for additional burdens, for criminalization of their efforts. For instance, in Texas now, a poll worker that seeks to restore order to a polling place by removing a partisan poll watcher who is intimidating voters or interfering with the process, that poll worker could be violating a criminal law and be prosecuted, whereas the poll watcher who caused the disruption has no penalty. The poll worker themselves, the volunteer poll worker, could spend up to a year in jail under Texas law. And at the same time that those things are going on, they're seeing their resources cut. They're being asked to do more with less, despite the fact that they just succeeded beyond anybody's expectations in 2020. We've completely detached from reality when it comes to these public servants. And the attacks on civil servants, the attacks on those who make government work for us, that doesn't just affect elections. It's affecting us in many other ways as well. And it's a sign of really devastating damage to our overall democracy.
On August 11th, the House Committee on Oversight and Reform held a roundtable bipartisan panel highlighting the desperate need to counter election misinformation and the impact this is having on our democracy. There was a panelist testifying, Tina Barton. She was the city clerk for Rochester Hills, Michigan. And I want to play for you what she had to say.
On election night, November 2020, my team made an error when saving an absentee file that contained results for 7 of our 32 precincts. The error was found and quickly corrected. That following Friday, a press conference was held by a national Republican political figure at the Oakland County Republican Party headquarters, the county party that had nominated me as their candidate for Oakland County Clerk Register of Deeds. President Trump and I both lost in our county. But that press conference changed my life forever. No one contacted me to ask what had happened or to seek the truth. Instead, this statement was made. Just last night in Oakland County, we found 2,000 ballots that had been given to Democrats that were Republican ballots due to clerical error. And this took place in Rochester Hills. You could hear the gasp of everyone in the room, and I was stunned. I responded with the following statement, shared by video. My name is Tina Barton. As a clerk, my job is to run the elections fairly and securely. All ballots are and have been accounted for. There were no missing ballots. The accusation that 2,000 were found is categorically false. As a Republican, I am disturbed that this is intentionally being mischaracterized to undermine the election process. This was an isolated mistake that was quickly rectified once realized. Every voter should have complete confidence in our voting system Every vote that was cast was counted accurately, and there is a paper ballot backup. And I stood by our reported result. 4 days after that press conference, I received my first death threat. It was laced with obscenities, threats to my life and my family members' lives, and used sexually charged language. Pardon me. Why the details of my story are unique. Over 1,000 incidents of hostile and harassing contact have been reported to the DOJ. Mis and dis and malinformation is dangerous, and it's fueling these threats. We need your help. We need your help with protection. We need your help with increased awareness of the threats and intimidation. We need grant funding that is specifically designated to assist officials. If elections are truly critical infrastructure, we must protect them and those that administer them.
So can you react to Tina Barton's testimony?
Yeah, I know Tina well. She was an absolutely excellent election official. And her story is not unusual at all, and it's heartbreaking. There are election officials all over the country who did their jobs, who told the truth, and they've been targeted for disinformation about those jobs and then targeted for really vile threats that that put them under a constant fear of harm or death. And in some cases, like Tina's case, like cases of election officials in Arizona, election officials stood up for elections that they actually had lost because they knew that the integrity of the elections were sound. Despite that, you have, again, an ecosystem of grifters that have surrounded the losing presidential candidate who continue to tell lies about this and put these civil servants at risk. Despite the fact that overall, the election was very good for their party. I mean, in Texas, nationwide, Republicans did very well on the very same ballots that are being challenged. And yet, somehow, the grifters leveraged some kind of cognitive dissonance to make their believers, make the followers, make those who are sincerely disappointed in the outcome of the 2020 election angry and divided. And most importantly, donating. And they appear not to care about the fact that literally thousands of election officials are receiving death threats on an ongoing basis. That's happening still today. I want to be clear about that. My organization had to form something called the Election Official Legal Defense Network under the guidance of co-chairs Bob Bauer, former Obama counsel, and Ben Ginsburg, former counsel to George W. Bush and Mitt Romney. And the fact that we live in a country now where a nonprofit like mine has to recruit lawyers to advise and defend election officials who are under constant threat and attack is not a sign of a functioning democracy. I'm glad we're able to provide that service, but we shouldn't have to do that.
A report came out from that same committee. In its analysis, it details something that they call the democracy erosion engine, which illustrates sort of a circular cycle of attacking, putting pressure on the local election offices in order to erode trust and the functionality of smooth elections that we have here. And this can be seen as part of efforts to empower authoritarianism in the United States. If you can erode people's trust in our elections and convince them that democracy doesn't work and that a authoritarian would be better for us, this makes perfect sense. This is how you would do it. You would cut off funding to election offices. You would put in these fraudulent audits. There are grifters there ready to cash in from that. You would pressure these local election officials with threats, and you would just subvert them at every function. Are you familiar with this idea that there is a democracy erosion process underway right now?
Well, I'm very familiar with the idea. In fact, I wrote a book about it that's coming out this fall. I didn't call it democracy erosion. I think it's actually much more rapid than that. Erosion takes time. It's happening very rapidly right now. The fact is that our adversaries overseas, are the autocratic enemies of our country, have sought for decades to get Americans to doubt democracy works, that democracy can govern them, that their country can be successful under a democracy. There are countries that are heavily invested in that. And they were unsuccessful. We have survived a lot of challenges. We've survived legitimate things that we needed to work through in our country and even close elections like 2000. But now domestic actors, out of grift, out of pettiness, are actually much more successful than our adversaries in Beijing and Moscow could ever have dreamed. I mean, they're sitting back in their chairs and laughing and applauding as they watch the losing presidential candidate and those that surround him dismantle our democracy by creating doubt. Democracy requires trust, and we've built up an infrastructure of election security that should engender trust. Again, more paper ballots that you can go back and look at, more audits of those ballots than ever before to confirm that the count was accurate, more court scrutiny than ever before. Very importantly, our voter lists are more accurate than ever before. We have much better information, not just in Texas, which does much better than it has in the past, but other states as well have much better information on when someone has moved to another state or when they have died, for instance. So the voter lists are much more accurate than they've ever been before. All of that is true, and yet we have ongoing delegitimization of our democracy, which I fear is going to lead to political violence and possibly anarchy in some ways.
We already had political violence on January 6th.
And imagine now, as we see delegitimization of elections going forward, if in close elections that where the outcomes don't satisfy the election deniers, they only define a secure election by whether their party won. And if the elections, transparent as they are, secure as they are, don't satisfy the election deniers, we already know that they will incite violence. But this time, that violence might not be directed at one place on one day. All that focus was on Washington, D.C. on January 6th. What if instead we've got to focus on dozens of places on dozens of days? This is what concerns me a great deal. I think we're naturally heading down this path. We see attacks on civil servants, not just election officials. We're seeing recent attacks on the judiciary. We're seeing recent attacks on law enforcement. This is all designed to weaken the foundations of democracy. And unfortunately, it's largely successful right now. If we get to the point where the only definition for a significant percentage of the population, the only definition of a successful election is whether your party won, we're lost as a democracy.
David Becker is the executive director and founder of the Center of Election Innovation and Research. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters to listen to on our website at tpr.org. And you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.